Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey guys, it's Joe McGee. We're talking about the heroes of faith. You know, one of the greatest things you ever did is just as a child, you know, everybody got a Bible. People gave you a Bible at Christmas, or your grandmother gave you one, or your mom or dad gave you one. Everybody had a Bible, but most people didn't read it. I went to a good old church. Been there forever. The building, I don't know how old it was, older than Methuselah. And so we went to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Sunday night, every camp meeting, you know, family reunions. And so church was our life. Well, what was great in church, we had Sunday school class. It was a big thing at one time. We always had Sunday school before we had regular church. Well, in our Sunday school class, we'd always have somebody reading the Bible. And most every time, they were reading stories from the Old Testament. And so the Old Testament was loaded. And it's incredible, the Old Covenant, the New Covenant, and they how they came together. And so what I love is just telling the stories of how God showed his love to his people, is trying to redeem his people, trying to save his people, trying to bless his people. God is a loving God. He's trying to love his people all the time. And so this is a story of Abram, how this all started on the planet. God was looking for somebody to show himself strong in. He found this guy named Abram. And so he said, what is it? Well, I found the guy I want. I want that Abram, man. That's my guy. Well, he picked a guy, you know, he's 100 years old. His wife's 90. They couldn't have children when they could have children. Well, they're too old to have them now, you know. And so God picks him. And so God calls him out of his tent one night, and he tells him, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. You're going to have so many kids, it'll be like the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. And the Bible said Abram believed it. What is he? Just simply believed it. So we're going to pick up the story in Genesis chapter 15. It's an incredible story. We're talking about how Abram started out with his nephew Lot and what happened there. So we're going to pick this up in Genesis 15. It says this, now Abram was growing old. This is before he got his name changed to Abraham. Abram's growing old. Although he had great riches and many servants, he had no children. So one night while he was asleep, God appeared to him and said, hey, don't be afraid, for I will protect you. I will give you a great reward because you're faithful. Now listen, God said, I'm going to give you a great reward because you're faithful. God honors faith. God honors faithfulness. And so Abraham asked, what will you give me for a reward? God promised that someday Abram would have a son. At God's bidding, Abram got up, went outside, looked up in the stars of heaven, and the angel said, someday the children of your family will look like this. God said, there'll be as many as the stars. Nobody will be able to count how many kids you're going to have. Abram understood that this family one day would own the land of Canaan. Even though Abram did not have any children, he believed God's promise. Well, God caused him to know that the children of all of his family would be slaves in a strange land for 400 years. God starts laying out the future. God says he knows the future. God sees us 5 minutes from now, 5 days from now, 5 years from now, 50 years from now. God sees the future. That's why God said he'll order our steps, direct our paths, he'll guide us all truth, show us things to come. So, he said this, after these 400 years, they would return to Canaan and possess the land. We know that as the Ten Commandments and Moses leading the children out. Later, we shall see how this is going to come to pass, because it's a great story. Now, one time, Abram and his household, they went to Egypt during a famine in the land of Canaan. When they returned, they brought with them an Egyptian servant girl named Hagar. Well, they taught Hagar about the true God. In other words, they got her born again, as we would say today. One day, Hagar displeased Sarah, and Sarah punished Hagar severely, and Hagar ran away. Sometime, Hagar followed the sandy desert road. When she got tired, she stopped to rest by a fountain. An angel appeared to Hagar. Hagar, Sarah's maid, where did you come from, and where are you going? The angel asked. I'm running away from a mistress, Hagar said, because I am so unhappy. Well, the angel said, go back, the angel said, and try to please Sarah. God will give you a son, and he will grow up to be a strong man. Now, God kept his promise, guys. I'm telling you, this is an amazing story. Hagar knew that a messenger from God had spoken to her. God had known her all this time. God knew me. He knew my name. He knew what I was going through. And she's taking great courage from that. So she obeyed. She returned to Sarai. Afterwards, the fountain in the wilderness where the angel had found her was called Beer-Halah, which means a well dug by the living one who sees. Hagar had a son, as God had promised. Abraham named him Ishmael, which means God hears. Abraham loved Ishmael, but Ishmael was not the child that God had promised him. When Abraham was nearly 100 years old, God spoke to him again. Abraham fell on his face and listened. God said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. Now, Abraham knew a covenant was a promise between two people, each one agreeing to do something for the other. And in this covenant, God promised to give Abram a son. And Abram promised to serve God faithfully. So God said, "You will name your name shall no more be Abram, but you're going to be called Abraham. Because Abraham means the father of many. And your wife Sarah shall no longer be called Sarah, she'll be called Sarah, which means princess." So God changed Sarah, contentious woman, to Sarah, prince. God gives good names. So in Genesis 18, Abraham sat at the door of his tent. He saw three strangers coming up. He knew they were from a far country, but he didn't know like anybody he knew. So he ran out to meet them, and he bowed down. He said, "Don't go on. So stay here," Abraham said. "So I will have water brought to you to wash your feet. Please rest under the tree, and I'll get you some food. Then you may go on." The three men agreed. First, Abraham sent water to wash their feet. It was the custom for people to take off their shoes and sandals and wash their feet whenever they sat down to rest and visit. Now, Abraham told his wife to bake some barley cakes on the hearth. He prepared some meat for them. So Abraham ran out, just heard, chose a young calf, had a servant dress and cook it. When all was ready, Abraham brought the food to his guests. They ate while he stood by. As they ate, one visitor said, "Where's Sarah?" Abraham said, "Well, she's in the tent." Then the visitor said, and added, said, "Your wife's going to have a son." When Sarah heard this, now she's in the tent eavesdropping. When Sarah heard this, she laughed out loud. "Abraham, are too old. How can they have any children?" The visitor turned to Abraham and asked, "Why did Sarah laugh? And why does she think she's too old to have a child? Does she know that nothing is too hard for the Lord?" Now that's been a bumper sticker all over America for years. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. You need to say it to yourself every day you get up. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Well, when they had eaten, the men started on. Abraham walked with them a little way, but this time he knew they were not like other men. These things were heavenly beings. Two of the visitors were angels. The other was the Lord. This is the acts of the Lord, as we know him as Jesus. The Lord and two angels came down, and Abraham had fixed him lunch. Abraham felt it was not good enough to entertain such wonderful visitors, So the Lord loved Abraham, and he asked his companions, "Shall I tell Abraham what I'm going to do? I need to tell him. I know that he will teach his children to keep my ways and do what's right." God knows it. He said, "What do you know about Abraham? He'll teach his children and his grandchildren." All godly people, I've taught it for years in our parenting class. My job is to teach my children, my children's children, my children's children's children. Matter of fact, one scripture says, you'll teach your children to the fifth generation that they might have hope in God and might not be as their fathers who forgot my ways, who forgot my works. And then when times came, they laid down their weapons and they ran. They didn't fight. They didn't have any faith. And so here we come. So they loved Abraham and he asked his companions, "Shall I tell Abraham what I'm going to do? I know that he will teach his children to keep my ways and right." So turning to Abraham, the Lord said, "I'm going to visit Sodom and Gomorrah to see whether the cities are as wicked as they seem." The two men went on, but Abraham wanted to talk to the Lord. If the cities were to be destroyed, what would happen to Lot? Lot had gone to live in Sodom. And after Abraham had rescued him, he went right back into the enemy's camp. Because Abraham loved Lot, he asked the Lord, "Will you destroy the righteous with the wicked in Sodom?" And the Lord said, "Well, if I can find 50 righteous people in Sodom, I will not destroy it. All I need is 50 good people." Then Abraham feared that there might be fewer than 50. So he pleaded with the Lord, "Would you spare the city if there were only 45 righteous?" The Lord said, "Okay, if there are 45, I will not destroy it. Still, Abraham felt trouble. You know, that might even be 45. So he asked, what if you only found 40 righteous? The Lord said, I will not destroy the city for the sake of 40. And so thought poor Abraham, what if there's fewer than 40? So again, he said, Lord, please don't be angry with me, but what if there are only 30 righteous people? Will you spare the city for their sakes? And the Lord promised to spare the city, for only 30 righteous people can be found. So Abraham kept pleading until he asked the Lord to spare the city for only 10 righteous people. And the Lord promised to do it. Then the Lord went on, and Abraham returned to his tent. Now, I taught intercessory prayer for years in my local church. And what's great is God did whatever Abraham asked. God said, listen, I gotta go down here and see if it's as bad as I've heard. So Abraham knows he's got relatives down there. Well, Lord, what if there's only 50 good people? Will you spare the city for 50? And this is a huge city, mega city. Sodom and Gomorrah were a mega city. And so what if you can only find 50? He said, okay, I'll spare it. Well, Lord, don't get upset, but what if we can only find 45? And God said, okay, I'll spare for 45. Well, what if you can only find 40? Will you spare for 40? Okay. And he took him down to 10. God said okay to whatever he asked. I tell people, the Bible says, we have not because we ask not. We're to ask thy joy might be made full. God will do whatever he asks. Jesus said in the New Testament, I know what you need before you ask, but I need you to ask. It's a legal thing. Prayer is not a religious thing. It's a legal thing. And so we see in this story in Abraham, God's talking to him. He said, I'll do whatever you ask. Will you spare for 10? Sure. Now, unfortunately, there were only 8. And so, and that's a whole nother Bible story within itself. But what the point is, God would do whatever Abraham asked. He said, I love Abraham. We have a covenant. I'll do whatever he asks. And so I tell people, you have not because you ask not. When you pray, don't do it wishy-washy. Be bold when you pray. You know, the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, the thing is established. You need to know what God's promised you. What did God say? What did God say about your long life? With long life will I satisfy and show you my salvation. Length of days are in one hand, riches not in the other. I need to find at least scriptures. The Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing is established. So whenever I pray, you know, today I prayed this morning, I got up, I'll pray tonight before I go to sleep. It won't be a long prayer, and I don't even bow my head and close my eyes. I just pray out loud. And so my wife knows I'll be laying in bed, and she used to, for a long time, who are you talking to? I'm just talking to God. I'm just mentioning some stuff. I'm putting God in remembrance of his word. I'm just putting God. God said, put me in remembrance of my word. So I'm doing that. I'm saying what he said. I'm not making up stuff. I'm not making a wish list. This is not some kid making a Santa Claus list. It's not a wish list. It's what God's already promised. I have a Bible. It's called a covenant. I have a new and old covenant. I've got a covenant with God. He's made promises. I'm just putting in remembrance of what he's already promised me. He's promised me with long life while I satisfy and show you my salvation. God's promised me he would surround me with a shield of divine favor. Father, I need divine favor today. I'm not just trying to win a popularity contest. I'm not trying to be voted most likely, most handsome, whatever. I just need divine favor. I live on an alien planet where Satan is the temporary god of this world. Satan, who steals, kills, and destroys. What do you need? I'm like Daniel and Joseph. I need divine favor. I need favor in the eyes of my boss, my teacher, my coach, my neighbor, my employer, my employees. I need favor with everybody. Well, it's been promised. God said, I will surround the righteous. Well, who's the righteous? Those who made Jesus the Lord of their life. So I just remind you, God, you've already promised. You promised to surround the righteous with a shield of divine favor. I've not earned it. You know, it's not something I've done. I don't have badges on my chest like some sort of scouting thing or military thing. It's a promise. The Bible says I can run boldly to the throne of grace to get mercy and help in time of need. What are you looking for? I'm looking for mercy and grace. What's mercy? I haven't earned it. I don't deserve it, but God will give it. That's why I'm blind Bartimaeus when he heard Jesus was coming by that day. He's screaming to Jesus. Now, he needs some eyeballs. He can't see. He didn't start screaming, hey, healing man, eyeballs. Need some eyeballs over here. What he yelled was, mercy. Son of David, have mercy. Now, what he got him? He got him a new set of eyeballs, but he didn't ask for eyes. He asked for mercy because God is a merciful God. His mercy is brand new every morning. And so even Abraham with God, he's letting him know, hey, will you do it for this? Well, can you do it for 15? Can you do it for 10? And so he kept taking, and God answered him yes every time. God didn't argue with him. He said, sure, I'll do whatever you ask. And so we have not because we ask not. So today, before you head out to work, before you do what you're going to do, just take a minute, get your piece of paper, and write down three things you need. God, I need these things. Well, God promised he would supply all of our need. So make a list. Lord, I need these things. I don't want them. I need them. And you promised you would supply my need according to your rich flow of Christ Jesus. So get you two or three scriptures and just start confessing. Put them on some 3x5 cards. Put them in your billfold. Put them on a piece of paper and start saying what God says, and God will show up. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.